Alexa, play 95.7 ESPN.
Playing ESPN Rochester on radio.com.
You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, making his inaugural visit into the sports bar. We are very fortunate to have a few minutes with Tim Graham of The Athletic. Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. It feels good to be here.
Tim, appreciate the time. You've been at this for a while on the Bills beat. Here we are, a year and a half into the McBean era, if you will. What's your impression of the head coach and the GM and the direction here now that, again, we're a year and a half into this regime?
I think it's still it behooved this fan base to hang on and show some patience and try to be patient. I know it's difficult, and I guess thankfully for the Bills fans, they did make the playoffs last year and broke that slump, because imagine where we'd be right now if this season were unfolding as it has been and the slump hasn't been broken. And we're looking at 19 years, and you're probably thinking 20, 21, and then that drought's old enough to pretty much do anything legally in this country, get into any bar, strip club, do your legal weed, whatever you need to do at 21 years old. And at least that albatross is gone from around the franchise's neck. And I think the fans have, in general, been realistic about this season, especially once it got started. Maybe not in the off season. You'd see a lot of debate about whether or not you believe that the Bills should have an over-under of whatever it was, 5.5, 6.5 in Las Vegas. People thought that was outrageous, that this was a playoff team, they should be given more credit. But then the way that they stumbled out of the gate to those first ugly two losses, I think was a reality check. So I don't know if Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are going to be the answer, but I said this even when both came aboard after Doug Whaley was fired once they were installed, is that when the Bills do find success, and it will happen at some point, this is what it will have looked like in terms of Terry and Kim Pegula getting rid of a guy like Rex Ryan, getting rid of a guy like Doug Whaley, two guys who were here on reputation only and didn't do anything with it, for guys who are on the way up, who are tethered to each other. And granted, McDermott came in a few months before Bean, but really, for all intents and purposes, these guys have to succeed together. So you're not in a situation where one coach has more leverage over the GM or vice versa. So it's still a long-winded answer to your question, but I think it's too early to say yet, but I'm not discouraged.
He is Tim Graham of The Athletic, joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. And Tim, I'm glad you brought up the patience of the fan base. I mean, at the game on Sunday, you know, there was frustration, sure, but it was almost like an exasperation. And in your most recent piece, or one of your most recent pieces at The Athletic, you lay out a case that the fan base has been tough on Nathan Peterman, that you're not going to be as critical of him as probably some other people might be. As compared to other fan bases, are we, as a Bills fan base, unfair and tougher on our own than most?
Well, you know, what's funny is that the Bills fan base is ready to jump in and be charitable with a lot of situations. Well, Daryl Talley, a story I wrote in which money was raised for Daryl Talley, Andy Dalton's foundation after he helps the Bills get into the playoffs this year. The story from the past few days about a site in Chicago making fun of Bills fans and Bills fans responding by raising money for Chicago charities. But Bills fans have a tendency to, they're a little rough, but I'll quibble. I'll say that I don't think that Bills fans have been overly harsh with Nathan Peterman. And I think that they've shown a lot of respect for him. I think that it's not nearly a situation like we saw with guys who came in with more expectations and had were getting paid a lot more money. Guys like Rob Johnson and just wore out their welcomes. Everybody knows what Nathan Peterman is. He's a fifth-round pick on a rookie contract. He's getting paid the same amount of money as the long snapper and a bunch of other backups who may not even dress on Sundays. He's not stealing somebody's roster spot. He's not getting in the way of somebody's development. He's playing right now because of an emergency, and he's not getting he's not stealing money to do it. So I think Bills fans should and probably are. I get a sense that they are, and if they aren't, that they should come around to cheering for Nathan Peterman. And because I think that in a season where you have two wins and it doesn't look like they're going to finish with many more than that. You have to find things to cheer for, and I think a comeback or Nathan Peterman redemption would be a pretty good one.
Tim Graham of The Athletic, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Another story here. LeSean McCoy not talking to the media. Tim, do you have a problem with that? Does he have a responsibility as a team captain to get in front of the cameras or talk to a reporter and just give, even if it's a bland quote there, he's doing his responsibility? Or is perhaps McCoy, knowing he's going to perhaps say he's upset about something, is there a deeper story there? What's your take on McCoy not talking all of a sudden here?
Well, it's complicated. I personally don't care. When he was going to speak yesterday, or there was a thought that he was going to speak at his locker stall yesterday, I was there just because I was curious to what he was going to have to say. But I don't feel like I'm owed anything, that he owes me an explanation. I think, though, that if fans feel that they're owed an explanation, that's a legitimate feeling too, and that I should be the conduit to be able to deliver whatever LeSean McCoy has to say or chooses not to say. He is a captain, and I think that it is unfair to his teammates, and that's somebody that he needs to reconcile his decision not to speak with, because they will speak. Nathan Peterman, for all the ugliness, here's a guy who would be totally justified to curl up in a fetal position and not speak to a reporter again for the rest of his life. But there he was at behind a lectern, on a podium, in front of the bright camera lights, answering all the questions after that loss on Sunday. LeSean McCoy is getting paid a lot more money, has a lot more status and stature in that locker room than Nathan Peterman. Well, maybe he doesn't. Maybe Nathan Peterman, that's where he gets a lot of his respect from. I think that I get it. There are a lot of fans out there who say, look, leave the guy alone. I don't care what he says or what he does. I just need him to score touchdowns and break big runs on Sundays. But that's kind of the issue, isn't it? It's he's not doing those things. And people would like to know what the issue is. But as you say, if he's just going to go up there and just for the sake of not getting fined like Marshawn Lynch, at the Super Bowl, I'm just here so I won't get fined. If he does that, then it's just a waste of everybody's time. So I would like for him to have something meaningful to say, but if he doesn't, then that's his choice, and I'm not going to hold it against him.
He's Tim Graham of The Athletic joining us in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. On the practice field this week, Tim, Josh Allen, limited. Status for Sunday still up in the air. Are you in to play him this week if he's healthy, camp, or are the Bills better served to wait until after the bye and not even come close to rushing him back? What have you seen so far of Allen this week?
Well, we haven't seen much, and I'm not one. I'm a practice observer because we only get to see the portion that's allowed for the reporters is pretty much to take attendance. They're doing individual drills, light stretching, stuff like that. They're just getting loose for practice. We're not allowed to see what actual work is going in for the upcoming opponent. By the time we're let back in to do our interviews and go into the locker room, practice is over, with the exception of guys who are doing extra work after. So it would be disingenuous for me to give any kind of report as to how he looks. But I'm in the camp that he should not play. Don't rush him. I've been in that camp even before the season began. I think that a perfect scenario would have been, well, which kind of did unfold until it blew up on him, is if Nathan Peterman or A.J. McCarron were to have won the starting job and to let Josh Allen wait on the sidelines for as long as possible to mature, to learn the NFL, learn and absorb as much as he can in meetings from NFL coaches and the system and how what the NFL lifestyle is like. And I don't mean lifestyle like big pimpin' limousines and, you know, steak dinners. I mean the lifestyle of the grind and getting to practice, getting there early every day, and what you need to do to get ready for an opponent. And I don't disagree that there's big value in going out there and getting your reps. But I also think that it's it's worthwhile for a young quarterback to be able to be given the time to mature and not be forced into anything like he was after Nathan Peterman proved that he just wasn't ready to be the Bills quarterback on opening day. So you can go back to A.J. McCarron's shoulder injury in preseason, really hurting the Bills quarterback depth chart and totally destroying, I think, the plans that were in place and putting everybody in a spot and forcing the Bills front office to make decisions it probably would rather have not made. So you got Josh Allen coming off of an injury. The Jets defense is pretty good. Are you risking him getting hurt again, playing behind this offensive line? I'm sure his competitive juices want him to be out there this week, but really, what's the point other than just getting him reps? And I think that there's put him back out there when you know 100% that he's ready and he's got some unlimited practices under his belt.
That was it, right? I mean, it was that shoulder injury in the preseason where the plan blew up in their face. Because I think to myself, you know what, I don't have a problem with them making the quarterback competition in preseason a thing, but it, you know, when it turned out the way it did and A.J. McCarron gets hurt and isn't really as competitive and isn't able to compete at the same level as a Nathan Peterman or Josh Allen and becomes expendable, then you have to make that move and you somehow get something for him. It's almost like everything around that shoulder injury blew up their plan right in their face.
I think so. A.J. McCarron wasn't able to get the reps that you wanted him to get, not only in practice, that was the third preseason game. That's what Josh Allen goes out there times and a half, I think it was. I think he was hit 10 or 11 times. And it really made you wonder what kind of benefit you were going to have putting Josh Allen out there and getting those reps as a rookie, getting those starts, if he was just going to go out there and be running for his life. He needs to be able to settle down and learn the game, learn the speed of the game. And yes, the best way to do that is under game situations, but it becomes diminishing returns when you're weighing it against injury, when you're weighing it against getting hits and, shaking a guy's confidence. And we only need to go to David Carr, and David Carr may seem like a long time ago, and yeah, that's true, but Josh Allen grew up watching David Carr, and I've written about this. He grew up wanting to play for Fresno State. That was his dream football team, coming from Fireball, California, the nearest Division I franchise or program is Fresno State. So he always wanted to play for the Bulldogs. He closely monitored David Carr and Derek Carr. And so he knows what it means when a guy like David Carr is just getting sacked like crazy. And the Bills threw three or four games were on pace to set the record for most sacks allowed in an NFL season. So he would have been that, it would have been second. Randall Cunningham, that record might never be broken. But so he knows and he realizes that a young quarterback does need to be shielded from catastrophe on occasion, and I don't think that he's so ignorant as to be able to look around the locker room or to see the Bills depth chart and to know that this might not be the best year for his development, that next year things will be different with the offensive line and his receiving core, and he'll have a lot more at his disposal.
Tim Graham from The Athletic joining us here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN Rochester. Kelvin Benjamin, you had the story in the preseason where he had some interesting thoughts on Cam Newton. Kelvin Benjamin has not produced. I think we can all agree on that. But my question is, hey, does it raise a flag in your mind about Brandon Bean here for a GM that had knowledge on what Kelvin Benjamin was about and to go make that trade? I mean, how could Bean whiff so badly on a Kelvin Benjamin trade?
Yeah, from what I understand, and this isn't making excuses, and it maybe is even a further indictment, but Kelvin Benjamin has, and a lot of people look at it as effort, and I'm not saying that he is giving his all on every play. That's something that I'm hesitant to do either way when it comes to effort or whether or not a player quit or whether he's trying. I always stop short of that because that's really dangerous territory to get into. And likewise, I'm not going to say that I can speak and say this guy is trying his hardest on every play either. So I'll remove myself from that. But I am learning that Kelvin Benjamin has knee issues, that they are maybe slowing him down. Well, they're definitely slowing him down and making him less effective. You know, he had the surgery, and I believe it was his third season, or was it his second season? But anyway, he's really struggled in coming back from that. And he had a great rookie season. He showed that he was going to be perhaps one of the stars out of that really impressive rookie draft class of wide receivers the same year that Sammy Watkins came out. And it just hasn't evolved. And I think that, again, from what I understand, he does have the knee issues and just hasn't been able to be utilized, maybe just doesn't have the ability as much anymore, especially not without a supporting cast. And these receivers all feed off of each other in terms of how they're covered. And really, if you're a defender or an opponent going up against the Buffalo Bills, and you need to really worry about Kelvin Benjamin and Zay Jones, and that's about it. So it's not as though Kelvin Benjamin's getting a ton of favorable matchups. You can look at him and say, circle him on some plays and say, it looked like he gave up on this route. It looks like he didn't try to defend against a possible interception on this route, namely the Jonathan Joseph pick six in Houston. And those would be fair criticisms. But it just seems like a stew of things that have gone that are just keeping him from being any kind of weapon for the Bills. Can next year change things with more receivers and better line and giving the quarterback more time so that he can get separation, get him more motivated? I don't know that he's necessarily done in the NFL. I'm not going to say he's washed up, but he's definitely somebody who could benefit from improved circumstances. Yeah. And I think that that's what Brandon Bean was going after in trying to salvage him from Carolina, that the classic change of scenery would do him good. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't yet, that's for sure.
We've only got a couple more minutes left with Tim Graham, and I want to make sure we give you plenty of time, Tim, to let everybody know where they can read your work now at The Athletic before we let you go. If the season ends with the Bills finding themselves in this 2-3 win territory, not that we'd wish for it, do you think, in your opinion, there will be changes within the coaching staff? I'm curious if you think Leslie Frazier could be a head coach next season. I mean, lost in the mix of how putrid the offense has been, the defense has been one of the league's best, and Leslie Frazier was a candidate last year, specifically in Indianapolis. What are your thoughts on changes that could be coming this offseason, if any?
Well, I would imagine some changes within Sean McDermott's coaching staff. Look, they went to the playoffs last year, and he still tinkered with his staff. Got rid of Gil Bird as the secondary coach, and the secondary was known as maybe the biggest strength of the team last year. So he's prone to tinker. Maybe he finally decides that he wants to have a quarterback's coach who has a history of coaching quarterbacks instead of David Culley, whose history is coaching wide receivers, which is something that I've never really understood heading into the season, to have a guy to invest so much in Josh Allen and want to get so much out of him, to not maximize the coaching that you put around him, just never sat well with me. But Sean McDermott also seems like he's a guy who's pretty loyal to his coaches. Juan Castillo on the offensive line, maybe there could be a change there. And I'm not saying that I know this or that I suspect it, but those would be the places that if Sean McDermott wanted to make some changes, he could probably look there. Leslie Frazier, you know, that's tricky. He's already had a shot to be an NFL head coach. That's not to say that he won't get another one. And because he has his history with the Minnesota Vikings as a head coach, that made him a prime candidate, not to be cynical, but it does happen, made him a prime candidate to fulfill certain teams' Rooney Rule obligation for having to interview one minority candidate for every head coaching vacancy. And so I do think he would deserve it. Anybody I've ever spoken to who's played for him or who's been around him in any capacity thinks that he is but just from a PR standpoint, that's a tough sell to your fan base. If you're going for a new head coach and you're saying to your fans, we're getting the getting somebody off the Bills staff, regardless of whether you look at the numbers of the coach. So there's a lot of things working against Leslie Frazier, I think. And he enjoys working with Sean McDermott. So if I had to make a prediction, I would say that Leslie Frazier will be back next year. But if he does move on, then that would be good for him.
Tim, we're big fans of Matthew Fairburn. He comes on every week with us. Got me to subscribe to The Athletic.
Me too.
Yes, he's great. Tell everybody, what do you have working on at the Athletic, and where people might be able to subscribe?
Well, go to theathletic.com. Check out my Twitter feed. I just posted a story within the last half hour, 45 minutes or so. It's my latest long-form story on the injury card. And it might sound like a kind of a boring story, but what I did was I took a look at a part of the game that's really taken for granted. It's a dark part of the game because players never want to see it coming. They will never want to see that cart rolling out there for them, and they'll do whatever they can to avoid it. But what happens when you're on the cart? Your career, your day is over. Your season's probably over. Your career might be over. As you're being pulled off into the tunnel and on that cart, the game's going on without you, and you hear the whistle blowing, signifying that this game's not going to stop for you, and your career and your day or whatever might be over, and your world comes crashing down on you. What a medical staff does to a player, how a player goes through it, really kind of that notorious, that ominous injury card and what it represents, almost like a flatbed hearse that comes and scrapes these players off the field and takes them away. So check out my Twitter feed. It's by Tim Graham, B-Y Tim Graham. You can click on there, and if you want to subscribe, it'll take you right there. All kinds of promos and specials that you can run to get a couple of months or weeks free or whatever. There's always a promo going on.
Tim,
even if you want to sign up through the NBA promo or an NHL promo, you get the entire Athletic website, all the teams from around the country.
Tim, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on this afternoon with us. We know how busy you are. Sorry we went a couple minutes over, but I hope we get the chance to do it again real soon. Tim Graham of The Athletic, enjoy the rest of your night, bud.
Thanks, guys.
Great stuff there, Tim Graham. And if you missed that, we'll have that on our website a little bit later on. And he's saying the thing that a lot of us, you, I've been saying, patience with this regime here. And it was interesting, his quote, that if you had to, when the Bills are successful someday, the regime would look like this between owner, head coach, and GM.
Yeah, the word is alignment. You have it here, and you don't have it in a lot of organizations throughout the league. And that's why I'll continue to beat the drum that even though our record might not be better, there's a lot of teams right now in worse shape than the Buffalo Bills. All right, let's get to NFL appetizers in the sports bar.
Wait, the request line is open at 454 ESPN.
Oh, boy.
Richard writing in, just got to work. Am I too late for the Doug Whaley jokes? Mr. DJ.
Well,
Mike Danger.
Let's see. Which one do I want to... I'm feeling a little under the weather today. I've got a little bit of a tickle in the throat. How about this one?
To win in this business, it's about two things. It's about players and winning.
Whaley's words of wisdom. The key to getting over a cold is taking medicine and getting over a cold.
We'll explain why the words of wisdom are back in rotation yes. In the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia next when we serve up today's top NFL stories in bite-sized form. It's NFL appetizers in the sports bar, brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years, online at alexsribs.com. We go around the NFL with the top stories of the day. NFL appetizers next on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPN. ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis, and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus, on on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best-sounding, most interactive way to listen to the Sports Leader? The Radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The Radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.